Go ahead.
So we are holding on the last line of Kuf Lamed Daled Omud Beis. The Mishnah had said that when we talk about being Mechal Shabbos for Bris, the Mishnah had said a Suffolk and an androgynous, you're not Mechal Shabbos for. So Rashi had defined the Suffolk over there as being a baby that was Suffolk, whether it was born after a 7-month pregnancy or an 8-month pregnancy, where we know throughout Shas that a baby born in the after an 8-month pregnancy, meaning before 9 full months have passed, is generally not viable unless the baby in fact manages to survive for 30 days because it's premature. Tosfos actually points out over here that even in their times, and this is long before modern medicine, already the din is different actually. Because we're not always certain, it's hard to be certain exactly when the baby was conceived. And even if we do know exactly, still you have the Gemara mentions in Yevamos that it's only considered premature and non-viable if its hair and its nails are incomplete, and you often have even a baby that's born a couple of weeks early has them complete. So therefore, Tosfos says that this particular din doesn't necessarily apply nowadays, although there's still the question of what you do as far as its bris on Shabbos is a whole other matter, but the Gemara is going to mention other dinim that apply to an 8-month baby as well. Anyway, so a suffix, so if you have a suffix, whether the baby is an 8 or 9, as a 7 or 8 month baby, then you're not Mechal Shabbos to do its bris. And eventually we're going to see in the Gemara, the Gemara is actually going to ask later on, if we're concerned on which we'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, look, I mean, if the baby is considered that it might be possibly considered dead or non-viable or whatever, because it's an 8-month baby, then you might as well do the bris anyway. In effect, the baby's already dead. What's the problem? So we'll deal with that question later on Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. But anyway, so far we have the Mishnah had said it's a suffix. So you know, you're not Mechal Shabbos. Another possibility of the suffix is a suffix whether the baby was born on Shabbos or before Shabbos. The baby was born b'nei Shmoshes, let's say, or before Shabbos or after Shabbos, or on Shabbos or after Shabbos, as the case may be. So that would be suffix. So you're not Mechal Shabbos for the bris. Also, the Mishnah had said an androgynous, a baby that has the genitals of both male and female, you're not Mechal Shabbos for the bris. Rabbi Yehuda had said you are Mechal Shabbos for the bris of an androgynous, which we'll see in the Gemara what Rabbi Yehuda holds. We'll discuss it. We'll start discussing it now. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanan Rabbanan Olasa. The pasuk says Vayoyim Hashmini Yumo Basar Olasa. On the 8th day, you should circumcise the, good morning, Ellie. On the 8th day, you should circumcise the flesh of his Orla. Now, the word his Orla is extra. It could have just said, Bayimashmini Yimu Basar Ha Orla or something. So it means, Orlosai Vadai Doiches Shabbos. It means only if it's a definite Orla is it Machal Shabbos for it. Because that pasuk, as we learned earlier in the Perek, is where we learn the whole concept that a bris bismana is Doiches Shabbos. So only if it's a Vadai Orla. V'loi Sofik Doiches Shabbos. A Sofik, therefore, is not Doiches Shabbos. And the Braisa continues with several examples of Sfeikas. Which we're going to see now. The Braisa is going to list a number of examples of a suffix, and then the Gemara is going to explain later on after we finish the Braisa that this word over here, v'loy suffix, deiches Shabbos, is including one other one that is mentioned in that is not mentioned in the Braisa explicitly. So, orlase vaday deiches Shabbos. So, also only a definite orla is deiches Shabbos. V'loy androgynous deiches Shabbos. Not a baby who is an androgynous, where after all you have a suffix whether an androgynous is a male or a female. You have in different places in Shas actually you have a discussion whether an androgynous is a suffix. Is it that it might be a male, it might be a female, because after all it's got the genitals of both, or is it actually you have an opinion that an androgynous is beria b'fnei atzma, is an independent kind of creature, neither male nor female. So we'll see. Eventually we'll get into the discussion of in a couple of days. Actually, we're going to get to it towards the end of the perek. Why Rabbi Yehuda would say that you're Mechal Shabbos for the bris of an androgynous. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braisa over here, like he said in the Mishnah, androgynous. Yes, the bris of an androgynous is Doicha Shabbos, not like the Tanakama, but Onush Koris, and in fact, an androgynous himself would be Chayav Koris, like any other male, if he doesn't eventually get a bris milah. So as the usual rule applies, when he's a baby, his father is responsible to do it, or if he doesn't have a father, then the local based in is responsible. If that wasn't done, and then he himself has the obligation to arrange it when he gets older. So Rabbi Hoda is saying, it's not a suffix, it's a vadai, and therefore he would actually be Chayav Koris if he doesn't get it. Okay, continues the Braisa. Orlosei vadoi doiches Shabbos. Again, when we say orlosei his orla, meaning only when it's definite orla and only when it's a definite mila on the eighth day, meaning v'lo nolad ben hashmoshes doiches Shabbos. So not if the baby was born ben hashmoshes when you're not sure whether it's Friday or Shabbos, or when you're not sure whether it's Shabbos or Sunday. And also another one, orlosei vadoi doiches Shabbos, v'lo nolad k'shu mol doiches Shabbos. Also, a baby who was born already circumcised, his bris is not doiches Shabbos. Meaning, sometimes you have a baby who was born without a foreskin, without an orla. They actually have a name for it in medicalese. So such a case, as the Gemara is going to now be discussing, one way of looking at it is we're not certain whether he has an orla or not. It might be what's called orla kvusha, like a pressed down orla. Like the orla is sort of pressed down and intermingled and grow and grew together with the regular flesh of the Ava over there. So therefore, good morning. So maybe he needs a bris. So maybe he needs a bris. Maybe not. But it's only a suffix, and therefore you're not mechallel Shabbos for it. Okay, Tosfos points out, really, you don't need a pasuk on the face of it. You don't need a pasuk to tell us that you shouldn't be mechallel Shabbos for a suffix. I mean, obviously, it's a suffix. How can you be mechallel Shabbos for it? So actually, some achronim say, maybe the fact of the matter is, you're not just talking about to be mechallel Shabbos. Against that, on the other hand, you have a mitzvah bris milah. So the Sfasemis says maybe Taka you should be Doicha Shabbos for a Suffolk, and you would think, and if we maybe need a Pasuk to tell us that not. But Tosfos is asking the question why you should need that on the face of it. It's obvious you can't be Mechal Shabbos for a Suffolk when you might not be accomplishing the mitzvah at all. Tosfos says that mainly the Pasuk over here is teaching us that you don't do the Mila of an Androgynous on Shabbos. And or that were actually two of them. That you know, mainly it's teaching us about the androgynous and the case of the baby who was born without an orla in the first place. Nolad k'shu mol. Which, by the way, I mean, you have a number of great figures in Jewish history that it says about them that they were nolad mol. It says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Vateiro Isaki Tov, who means that she was born already gemalot. It says about God. It says about half a dozen great figures in Tanakh that they were born circumcised. So Tosfos says mainly the Pasuk is telling us about those two, and the reason that how can you use one Pasuk for both of them is because you actually have two places where it says Orlosei, Kuflamed Hei Amid Aleph. You actually have two places where it says Orlosei. One is over here, Vayimashmini Yumo Bsaro Losei. You have another one where it says V'oral Zocho Ashelo Yumo Bsaro Losei. So therefore, you can use each one. So you can use each one for one of these two cases. As far as the other ones, they're a suffix. So it's obvious that you're not going to be Mechal Shabbos for their Bris Mila anyway, because you can't be Mechal Shabbos for a suffix. Actually, the Minchas Chinuch talks about an interesting idea. He says, fine, of course the Pasuk is not telling you that you're not Mechal Shabbos for a Suffolk. Obviously, how could you? He says the Chiddush would be that what if you said, you know what, okay, maybe this baby needs a bris, maybe not. I'm going to go and do it anyway. Let's say, for example, the baby was born, let's say, on Friday night going into Shabbos, Bein HaShmoshes, and we're saying it's a Suffolk. So we're saying you're not Mechal Shabbos for the bris because it might be on the eighth day, it might be on the ninth day. So the Minchas Chinuch says a vote. So what would happen if you actually did? So you could, on the face of it, you would say, look, it was only a Suffolk if you're Mechal Shabbos, therefore, no Chattas. He says, no, maybe what the Pasuk is telling us, by telling us this V'loi Suffolk, Rechaz HaShabbos, you will be Chai of Chattas for it. It's only a Suffolk whether you're Mechal Shabbos, but the Torah itself is telling you clearly that this Suffolk is not Rechaz HaShabbos, and therefore that sort of turns it into a Vaday that you're Mechal Shabbos, therefore Chattas. Okay. And then the Minchas Chinuch brings another possibility why it's important for the Pasuk to be teaching us about a case of a Suffolk. What if you have a bunch of babies, some of them are Vaday and some of them are Suffolk, and you're not sure which is which, and you mal all of them, you know, you don't go according to the Rav, you say that the fact is you have one of them in there whose bris is not supposed to be on Shabbos because of the Suffolk, and therefore you're going to be Chayev. You don't just go according to the Rav. Anyway. So that last case, we said a baby was born gemalot, a baby was born already without a foreskin. So we said it's not doiches Shabbos. Now continues the Braisa, Shabbos Shama Omim Tzorich Lahatif Mimenu Dambris. Now, Bishamai is going to says that nevertheless, you do have to take a drop of blood out of there for the bris. We learned yesterday, Rashi had brought an expression that bris mila necessarily involves blood. That's why we had yesterday the case of the baby that was particularly yellow or whatever color yorick means. And the point is that there wasn't enough blood in him. And Rashi explained one problem, therefore, with doing the bris milah, besides that it would be dangerous to his health, is no blood would come out, and bris milah involves blood. There was an interesting thing, by the way. There was some time ago, I'm not sure how far back, they came up with somebody invented some kind of clamp that the moyo can put on the foreskin to hold it in place, such that when he's doing the bris, no blood will come out. And the poskim at that time said no good based on this, because there has to be blood come out. So instead, what moyolim do, you have most moyolim instead, you know, you have to have something in order to keep the orla in place while you're cutting it, so you don't accidentally cut wrongly or whatever. Most of them use, like I mentioned yesterday, a little thing that has a slit in it, a little thing shaped sort of like a paper clip or something, that has a slit down the middle of it, and they stick it over the orla, and it holds the orla in place while they're doing the cutting. Then it works kind of like a guard, like when you're sawing wood, you have a guard over there to keep you going the right way. So here, this works like that to make sure the knife doesn't go the wrong way. Anyway, so over here, so Bishamai says you have to have a drop of dam bris be taken out. Now the Meiri actually brings an interesting idea. He says that maybe it means, if we're saying that a baby was born circumcised, means that there might be an orla, but it's orla kavusha. He says it means you would actually have to remove a layer of skin over there. He just says you would have to do it very gently to make sure that you don't harm the actual aver. Most Rishonim disagree with that, though, and say it just means that you do a little scratch or a little pinprick or something in that area to take out a drop of blood, and that's the accepted halacha, and that's how they do it. So Bis Shammai says in this case you need Dambris. So Bis Hillel and Itzarich, Bis Hillel says you don't need it. So even Bis Shammai, who says you need a Tofas Dambris, will still agree you don't do it on Shabbos. Amar Reb Shimon ben Elazar, continues the Braisa, though, Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, no, Lo Nechleku Bis Shammai Bis Hillel al Noled Kru Mohol. No, Bis Shammai and Bis Hillel never disagreed about a baby who was born Gemalot, Shetzarich Lahatif Menu Dambris, that you definitely do need Hatofas Dambris for such a baby. Because we say it's an orla that is hidden or that is pressed down or whatever. In other words, normally you have the skin at the end over there is loose, and that is the orla that sticks out over the end of the aver, and that's the orla, which is cut off. Here you have that it's merged together with the rest of the flesh of the with the rest of the flesh of the aver. It's not visible as a distinct thing, but it's still sort of there. And therefore, you have to do a tofas dambris, even if there's no actual orla to remove. Nevertheless, you still have to take out a little bit of blood for sure. Even Bes Hillel would agree to that. Al man nachluku. What do they argue about? Says Reb Shimon Elazar, al ger shenis gayer kshu mohul. What if a ger became a ger, as the famous expression goes, when he was already gemalot? For example, Rashi says, let's say an Arab becomes a ger. The Arabs do bris milah from the times of Yishmael. You have other nations that do milah. And nowadays it's very common. Nowadays it's very common in the United States and in some other countries that they circumcise babies in the hospital. So you can easily have a ger who comes already gemalot. So now Bes Shammai is going to say that even so, you need to do a tofas dambris, even though there's obviously no orla. Unlike in the previous case, there might be an orla and it's an orla kavusha. Here, there's obviously not. But nevertheless, Bes Shammai says you need dambris, or Bes Hillel ein tzarich lahatif menu dambris. Bes Hillel says you don't need to. So now, as far as the actual halacha. We're not done the discussion yet because we have to. So far we have two different opinions, and later on we're going to have a third opinion about what Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel hold. So actually, as far as the halacha, you actually have different opinions among the Rishonim what the halacha is like. Do we need a tofas dam bris for a baby that was born gemalot? Based on the Gemara over here, you have different opinions in it, and we're going to continue with that discussion. So one way of you might not. Therefore, the halacha is you do, but you're not mechalal Shabbos for it. You do need to do a tofas damris for a baby that was born gemalot, but you don't. You know, you're not mechalal Shabbos in case after all it wasn't necessary to do. And in the case of a gershin eskaya, also you have a machlokas, a gershin eskaya, kru mohol, same thing. You have a similar machlokas, whether hatofas dambris is necessary. You have actually an interesting thing. The Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel that maybe he doesn't. And actually, there are other Rishonim, I think the Ran, understands Rabbeinu Hananel differently, that a Gershin is Gaya true Mohol, according to that way of understanding Rabbeinu Hananel, he can't become a Ger. Because according to that, a Tofas Dam Bris is not enough. He would need an actual Milah, and he can't because his Orla is already gone. So therefore, according to that way of understanding Rabbeinu Hananel, he couldn't become a Ger at all. The Halacha is not like that, though. The Halacha is, even if a person becomes a Ger and he's completely missing the Aver, the Halacha is, then he becomes a Ger with only Tvila, just like a woman. But anyway, Tosfos understands Rabbeinu Hananel differently, that he wouldn't need it. Again, the halacha is not like that, though. The halacha is he needs it. You don't make a bracha on it, though, because so what happens as far as a bracha, I think in the case of a baby, when you do a Tofas Dam Bris, you don't make a bracha because it's a suffix. In the case of a ger, I think the halacha is you do make a bracha, but I'm not sure about that. A Tofas Dam, yeah. So for sure by a goy, there's no question you don't do it on Shabbos. Forget about the fact that you're making him into a yid, and you can't do that on Shabbos. More to the point, it's after the eighth day anyway. It's after the eighth day. Only a bris bismana is the Shabbos. But more to the point is that so there the question is whether you make a bracha or not. In the case of a baby, you have two spekas. Number one, do you do it on Shabbos? And number two, do you make a bracha on it? Actually, the Alter Rebbe points out that, based on our Gemara over here, when we're saying Orlose Vaday and not Orlose Suffolk, so we're going to have another case later on, another case involving a Suffolk that we're going to talk about on Omud Beis, where again we say therefore such brisim are not Dorech Shabbos, as we're saying over here in the Gemara. So actually the Alter Rebbe applies it to a later case that we're going to talk about on Omud Beis, where the Gemara doesn't explicitly say that we're learning it from Orlose, but that's how we do it. So does it say what day they were born? Not necessarily. I mean, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't think it says one way or the other. In the case of God, Eliyahu, I think it also says, yeah, like I said. We know he was born Zainado, sure, but that doesn't necessarily mean, I mean, we know what Yehu was born. Yeah, but they didn't have the Loch Kavor that we have now, yeah. Yeah. So okay. Anyway. But it's neither here nor there. If the baby is born on weekdays, the halacha is in the end the accepted halacha is you do have to do a Tofas Dam Bris, but you don't do. But if it's on Shabbos, you don't. And as far as a bracha, I think also you don't say a bracha. And as far as a ger, you definitely don't do it on Shabbos. And I don't remember whether you do. I don't remember whether you make a bracha or not. Okay. So now let's analyze the braisa. Omamar, v'loy sofik doiches a Shabbos. We said that a sofik is not doiches Shabbos. So l'asu yamai, what else does that come to include? We mentioned a number of sfeikas in the Braisa, an androgynous, a baby that was born bein hashmoshes, a baby that was born already gemalot, and therefore it's a sofik, whether he has an erla. What other kind of sofik is there that the Braisa did not mention? So the answer is l'asu yahod the tonen abonon. It comes to include the case that we learn in a Braisa. Ben Shiva Machalin all of us a Shabbos, a baby born after a 7-month pregnancy, you Machal Shabbos, because as we know throughout Shas, such a baby is not premature, but rather developed on a different track. There's a 7-month track and there's a 9-month track, as we know throughout Shas. I mean, nowadays, modern medicine doesn't know of any such thing, but in those times, and nowadays, you have a baby is born premature, they're just going to put him in an incubator, and that's that. But there's no such thing. They don't know of any such thing that babies can develop, that a normal baby can develop on a 7-month track and be born fully mature. But in Shas, you have it's a commonplace thing. So a baby born after such a pregnancy, you machal Shabbos for his bris, because he's like any other baby. Or ben ches ein machal in all of us a Shabbos. A baby born in the 8th month, though, you're not, or after, or not in the 8th month, we're out of ben zayin, ben shiva means that it was born during the seventh month. Ben shmona means it was born during the 8th month, or I think it also can mean during the beginning. Actually, I think the Gemara in Nidda discusses, does it mean that the baby is born at the beginning of the 9th month, or only during the 9th month, in other words, after 7 full months and part of the 8th. Anyway, whatever it is, such a baby is not viable usually, because it's premature. So therefore, you're not Machal Shabbos for it. Suffolk ben Zion, Suffolk ben Ches, and Mechalon on Shabbos. And also, if it's a Suffolk, whether it's a 7 or 8 month baby, you're also not Mechal Shabbos for the same reason, because it might be a viable baby, it might be not. Again, the Gemara is going to discuss tomorrow, and we're going to learn tomorrow in the Gemara on Koflam and Vav, why not? L'chora, if the baby is going to live, then good, you do the Bris Milah. If the baby is anyway considered dead la'halacha, and we're going to say now he's actually considered Mukta even, then you should be allowed to do the Bris anyway, because anyway, it's just like dead flesh at that point. So what's the difference? Well, we'll talk about that tomorrow in the Gemara. And continues the Braisa. Ben Shmoina Hareyu Ke'evin V'Oso L'Taltele. In fact, an 8 month baby is considered like a stone. You're not allowed to move him on Shabbos. He's Mukta. But Avol Imo Shoicho Manikotoi, his mother could bend over him and nurse him with Nea Sakana because of the Sakana that there would be otherwise. It actually explains the Sakana is that the fact that her breasts are full of milk and it's going to be very uncomfortable and painful for her. In a different Gemara, in Yavamas, Rashi explains that it means the sakana of the baby as well. Even if we do consider la halacha the baby to be dead, nevertheless, the fact is right now he is alive, and therefore for the sake of his sakana, the mother is allowed. Yeah, he's going to starve, so therefore the mother is allowed to nurse him. Again, Tosfos points out over here that now. So in those times, they were more expert at being able to tell whether the baby is premature, and therefore there could be a mistake. That's what we're saying. There could be a suffix. If it's a suffix, Ben Zion, suffix Ben Ches, obviously he's not Muchtza. But we're talking about if he's definitely a Ben Ches, if he's definitely a Ben Shmoina. However, again, Tosfos says, even then, remember, Tosfos was living long before incubators, long before modern medicine or whatever, that the fact is, nowadays, we're not really expert at telling whether it's an 8 month baby, because you don't always know when the woman became pregnant. For example, the woman can become pregnant right after the tevila or sometime later, and that'll make a difference. Also, Tosfos says that even if you know for a fact that the baby is an 8 month baby, let's say Tosfos says the couple had relations, then the husband left town and they otherwise separated from his wife, and they didn't have relations after that. Nevertheless, still. Unless you notice that the baby's hair and nails are undeveloped, then it's still not considered a premature baby, because as the Gemara says in Yavamas, it could basically be a late 7 month baby. The same way as 9 month babies are sometimes born late in the 10th month, the same way sometimes you can have a 7 month baby that was born late in the 8th month. So practically speaking, then these dinim about not being able to be Mechal Shabbos for him don't necessarily apply. As far as not being able to pick him up, or as far as a bris milah, you still have the din that a baby that was born premature, you not necessarily can do his bris milah on Shabbos because of the suffix. Okay, so nowadays also it's different. I mean, first of all. Where a baby is born premature, practically speaking, you're not going to usually be in a situation nowadays where the baby could have a bris on Shabbos anyway, because they're underdeveloped and they need to be in an incubator. And as you said, with your son, he had high blood pressure, et cetera. And they've. Right. So that's what I'm saying. So usually you would have, practically speaking, nowadays, a baby born premature, you're not usually going to be in a situation where you could conceivably do the bris on Shabbos anyway. But hypothetically, if such a thing happened, then also you might be allowed to, you might be not. That we still assume it might be a late month, 7 month baby, and therefore, right, this part about the baby being mukta is not necessarily applicable, right? Well, it's not Lu Yitzuya. It was applicable practically in the times of the Gemara, but by the times of Tosfos, they lacked that expertise. In the times of Tosfos, they're saying that already it wasn't a practical thing but in the time of the Gemara, they had better ways of knowing when the baby was actually conceived and to be able to figure that out, yeah. I have no idea. So Dashem Lirayov, I guess. I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Yeah, I mean, when you get down to it, really, on the face of it, when the Gemara says over here, ben shiva mechal on Shabbos, ben ches ein mechal on Shabbos, on the face of it, the Gemara is only talking about bris milah. The poskim explain that we generalize from that to the dinim of taking care of such a baby on Shabbos. The Gemara itself is saying over here, you don't pick up the baby, but the poskim generalize from that to any other thing that's needed to save the baby's life. If you know for a fact that it's a ben shmona and he's premature and he's not going to survive or whatever, then you wouldn't be able to do those things on Shabbos either. Again, like we're saying over here, that you couldn't pick up the baby. But again, practically speaking, that's not necessarily applicable because we don't always know whether it's an 8-month baby or not. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Itmar. So now, we brought a braisa before. We brought at the top of the Amud a braisa where the Tanakhama had said that you have, in the case of a baby who was born circumcised, you have a machlokas, b'shamay b'shilol, whether you need hatofas dam bris or not. B'shamay says yes, b'shilol says no. And then Shimon Elazar says everybody agrees that with a baby you do, and the question is about a goy who became a ger who was already circumcised, where then you have the machlokas. So who is the halacha like? Itmar, Rav Amar Halacha Tanakama, or Shmuel Amar Halacha Kedav Shimon Elazar. So Rav says the halacha is like the Tanakama. Now, given that when you have a machlokas b'shama b'shilo, the halacha is almost always going to be like this hilo, then that would mean that a baby who was born gemala does not need hatofas dambris. Does not need, as b'shilo says, they don't need. Whereas Shmuel says the halacha is like Reb Shimon Elazar, meaning that the baby does need hatofas dambris, you just don't do it on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells Rav Ada bar Ava is yulid leha hu yinuka krumo. Rav Ada bar Ava had a son, his wife gave birth to a son who was born gemalit. And the day of the bris came out on Shabbos. The baby was born on Shabbos, so the day of the bris or the hatofas dam bris was going to be on Shabbos. Ahadre atleisa muhuloi. So Rav Ada bar Ava took him around to 13 different moylim to try and get one of them to do the hatofas dam bris, and none of them wanted to because you're not supposed to because as we said, you don't do it on Shabbos. And then Rav Ada bar Ava finally gave up looking for moylim and decided to do it himself. And ad deshavia krustrafcha, but he cut a little wrongly, and he made the baby a krustrafcha. He cut wrongly and ended up cutting off part of the aver itself. Omar, he says, tasily, I deserve this, the avri ad rav, because I went against what Rav said that you don't even need a tofas dambris. Yeah. Omelet of Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, what do you mean? What do you mean that he was only over on Rav? Why is he focusing on the fact that he was over on Rav's opinion? He should focus on the fact he was over on Shmuel's opinion also. Sure, Shmuel says that on weekdays, then that Shmuel understands the halacha is like Rav Shimon Elazar, who says that there's no machlokas b'shama b'shilul about a baby, that it needs hatofas dambris. The question is only, but still, you don't do it on Shabbos. So even according to Shmuel, that the halacha like Rav Shimon Elazar, nevertheless, Emer d'Amar Shmuel b'Choil. Granted, Shmuel says you do the hatofas dambris if it's a weekday, but Shabbos mi'Amar, he never said to do it on Shabbos. So Rav Ada bar Ava was going against not only what Rav says, that he doesn't need hatofas dambris at all, but even against what Shmuel says, that even if the baby does need it, you still don't do it on Shabbos. So why didn't Rav Ada bar Ava say that when he said, I deserve this for having violated both what Rav and Shmuel said? The Gemara says, who suffer vade or lekvushahi? Because if Ada bar Ava figured that, like this we were discussing before, the whole reason why you wouldn't do the hatofas dambris on Shabbos is because it's a suffix, whether it's an orla kvusha, is there an actual orla, but it's just stuck to the rest of the flesh there, or is there not? So before we were saying it's a suffix, Rav Ada bar Ava took the view that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, we would say that it's considered a vadai orla kvusha. There's definitely an orla there. You just can't physically remove it because it's stuck to the rest of the flesh of the aver. Kovush means like stuck or like hidden or whatever. It means like there is an orla there, but it's attached to the rest of the skin. It's like you have. I mean, normally the skin has several layers over there. Usually you have, you know, there's the mila and there's the priya. So like this, you have the skin is like you have the orla skin is stuck to it, and you can't separate them. So he says it must be vadai orla kvoshahi, which therefore, if we were to say that Beshama and Basilo agree that you need a tofas dambris, then it means a vadai, then you would do it on Shabbos. So if he was following Shmuel's opinion, then he would have been justified in doing the bris on Shabbos or having the moilim do it on Shabbos. But because Rav had said that not. So therefore he's saying, okay, maybe I had Shmuel to back me up, but I shouldn't have gone against what Rav says, who says that it is a suffix, and therefore who says that Basilo holds, you don't even need Hatofas Dambris, because even if it's an Orla Kusha, there's no physical Orla there to remove, and therefore you don't need Dambris, and therefore I shouldn't have done it, he's saying. Okay. I mean, again, the halacha we said is we do the toughest dambris, but not on Shabbos, right? So Tosfos mentions over here that among others, the halachas gedolos paskins that a baby does not need a toughest dambris based on what we're saying over here, that Rav says the halacha is like the Tanakama that you don't. But again, you have other Rishonim who disagree and learn that the halacha is that you do, and therefore Lamaisa we do it, but it's a suffix, and therefore we don't do it on Shabbos, and we don't make a bracha on it. De'itmar. And in fact, we have a discussion of Amiroyim on that question. This baby that was born Gemalot, is it considered, do we say that it's a suffix, whether there's an Orla Kvusha, or do we say it's a Vaday, that there is? De'itmar. Rabba Omer Chayshin and Shema Orla Kvusha Hi. Rabbi Yosef Omer Vaday Orla Kvusha Hi. Rabba says we have to be concerned that it might be an Orla Kvusha. Therefore, we need in other words, when Reb Shimon Elazar is saying that, according to, they're both going within Shmuel's opinion. When we say that Reb Shimon Elazar says both Bishama and Bishillo say you need a toughest dambris for the baby, is it on the grounds that it's a suffix whether there's an Ola Kvusha, or is it on the grounds that it's a Vaday that there's an Ola Kvusha? Either way, you would have to do that toughest dambris. Either because there might be an Orla, or because there definitely is. So Rabba says it means that Rav Shimon Elazar is saying that Shammai and Basil agree that there's a suffix over here, and therefore you have to do our toughest dambris. Rabbi Yosef Amar Vaday Orla Kvusha. Rabbi Yosef says that it means definitely an Orla Kvusha, and therefore that would mean Rabbi Yosef would say you actually are Mechal Shabbos for it, to do that toughest dambris. So Rabbi Yosef says, where do I get that from? That my understanding that it's considered Vaday Orla Kvusha, and therefore that you definitely need a toughest dambris, and you even do it on Shabbos. D'tanya, we learn in a brisa. Rabbi Lazer, really, it's supposed to be Rabbi Lazer Akapa. Beshama and Basilo do not disagree about a baby that was born gemalot that you need to take out dambris. Tosfos points out that actually this is a continuation of the brisa at the top of the Amud. We had the Tanakama who said Beshama and Basilo argued in that case. We had Reb Shimon Elazar said they didn't argue in that case. They only argued about the case of the adult ger who was already gemalot. And then we have a third opinion, Rabbi Lazar Akapper, who says that they both agree that Nerlet Krumol should tzorech la'atif men of Dambris, you do need to take out a drop of Dambris, al menech l'chal all of us a Shabbos. The machloikus is only all you machal Shabbos for that. Shabbos shama im machal and all of us a Shabbos, or b'shalom im en machal and all of us a Shabbos. So, since we have Rabbi Lazar Akapper saying that, lav miklal de tanakama sova machal and all of us a Shabbos, wouldn't that imply that the Tanakama holds you are Mechal Shabbos? So Rabbi Yosef says, there is my proof. You see, the Tanakama apparently is saying you are Mechal Shabbos, and Rabbi Lazar HaKapper wants us to know that that's actually a Machlokas B'Shamay B'Shillel. He's saying to the Tanakama, what you're saying that you're Mechal Shabbos for that is only good according to B'Shamay. B'Shillel would disagree. And the Halacha, of course, is going to be like B'Shillel. So that implies the Tanakama says Mechal and all of us are Shabbos. If we take the view that the Halacha is like the Tanakama, if we take the view that the halacha is like the Tanakama, then that would mean you're Mechal Shabbos. So Rabbi Yosef says, that's where I get my opinion that it's a definite Orla Kvusha, and therefore you need a toughest Dambris, definitely, and therefore you would do it even on Shabbos. So the question is, not necessarily. The Dilma Tanakama Divrei Hakol Ein Mechal Nkomer. Maybe the other way around. Maybe the Tanakama wants to say that both Bishama and Basilo say you're not Mechal Shabbos for it, because it's either it might be an Orla Kvusha, it might be not. So you have machlokas. So Bishamai would say that you need a toughest dambris on the grounds of the suffix. Bishillel would say you don't even need that. They would both agree you're not machal Shabbos. And Rabbi Lazar Akapa is saying that actually it's machlokas Bishamai Bishillel whether you're machal Shabbos. Unless it can't be. Im Ken, Rabbi Lozer Akapa, Chamer de Bishamai also Lashmin. And so what would that mean? Then Rabbi Lozer Akapa was coming to tell us what Bishamai holds. The halacha is not like Bishamai anyway. Bishamai bim koin Bishilil ain't a Mishnah, is the expression. That when you have Bishamai against Bishilil, we don't even consider Bishamai's opinion in a certain sense. We don't even consider it to be a valid opinion. Like, you know, usually with Machlokas Tanoim, we say, you know, there's an opinion over here. It's a valid opinion. We just don't accept it, the halacha. Bishamai against Bishilil, we have. It was determined that in almost all cases, the halacha is like Bishilil. And therefore, we don't even consider Bishamai to, why should we even bother to explain Bishamai's opinion? So obviously, our initial assumption must be correct. The Tanakama would be telling us that both Bishamai and Bishilil say you are Machal Shabbos. Bishamai, Rabbi Lazar Akapo comes and says, no, that's only according to Bishamai. Bishilil actually would say you're not Machal Shabbos, and therefore he'd be telling us something that's relevant, La Halacha. So therefore, so again, Rabbi Yosef's proof is valid, that the Tanakama holds that you definitely are Machal Shabbos for it. The Gemara says, not necessarily. Because maybe what Rabbi Lazar Akapa means is, I'm telling you, Tanakama, that Rabbi Shammai and Bishilil do not actually argue about that point. In other words, the Tanakama might be saying, everybody might agree that you're not Machal Shabbos. The Machloka says, do you have to do Atofas Dam Bris on weekdays? Rabbi Lazar Akapa would be telling them there's actually no Machloka about it at all. As far as weekdays, the Machloka is only as far as Shabbos. So now he wants to tell us. And now we could, after all, say he's telling us what Bishilil holds, which is relevant la halacha. That on weekdays you do need it, as opposed to the Tanakama would learn that on weekdays, according to Bishilil, you don't. And he's telling us, so you Tanakama are saying that you Tanakama are saying that for weekdays it's a machloikus whether you have to, and on Shabbos you definitely don't do it. You're not machal Shabbos for it. And Rabbi Lazar Akapa would be saying no. Bishamai and Bishilil definitely both agree you have to do it on weekdays, and they would be arguing. They would be arguing whether you do it on Shabbos or not. And the halacha would be like Bishilil that you don't. So therefore, we could after all say that the Tanakama was also saying that they both agree you're not machal Shabbos for it. So in that case, there's no solid proof that the Tanakama would be saying that the Tanakama says that you're definitely Machal Shabbos, because conceivably the Tanakama would be saying that you're not Machal Shabbos. So Rabbi Yosef's proof is not necessarily a valid proof that there's Vadei or Lakrusha over here. So again, the halacha is, again, you have this Macholikas Rishonim, who the halacha is like among these different opinions in the Gemara over here, and therefore the Maskana is we do the Hatafas Dambris, but not on Shabbos. Okay. As far as the bracha with a baby, you don't, and with an adult bris, I'm not sure whether you make a bracha on that. I think you do, but I'm not sure. Because we're saying it is a chiyuv, but it's only a suffix. You don't make a bracha. You generally don't. You don't make a bracha on a suffix. Although with that said, I think you have if I remember correctly, the Ravid argues on that and says that no, the fact is when it comes to a suffix d'oraisa, you do often make a bracha. It's only a suffix d'rabbanan that you don't make a bracha in general, but a suffix d'oraisa in general you do, and therefore you should make a bracha in this case. Okay. New topic. Amar Abasi, you're on the bottom, it says over here, Amar Rabba Amar Abasi. Here's a rule. Kol she'ima t'meya leida, any baby where the mother is tomei for 7 days after the birth, as it says in Parshas Tazria, nimur l'shmona, such a baby has to have his bris on the eighth day. If the mother does not become tomei from the birth, for example, Rashi gives two examples. One is a C-section, yeah. The other example Rashi says is, let's say a goita gave birth, and the next day, or sometime within the next couple of days after that, she became a geiris. So then the halacha would be that the baby, you don't wait until the eighth day, you just do the bris right away. You don't wait until the eighth day. If the mother is not becoming tamei from the birth, you don't wait until the eighth day to do the bris, you just do it as soon as possible. It doesn't necessarily take 8 days for the blood to develop, as long as it depends on the individual baby. Obviously, if the baby is not healthy enough to have the bris at that point, you can't do it. But we're talking about if the baby is healthy enough. So usually you have xeris akosiv, you can't do it before the eighth day. And by the way, you have an interesting point, actually. The Rambam makes an interesting distinction where if the baby, if they mistakenly did the Bris Milah before the eighth day by a regular baby, not the cases we're talking about over here in the Gemara, a regular baby, if they did the Bris before the eighth day, you would need a Tafas Dam Bris. On the other hand, on the eighth day. On the other hand, he says if they did the Bris Milah at night, then you would not need to. Because your Bris Milah has to take place by day, but if they did it mistakenly by night, then you don't have to do a Tafas Dam Bris afterwards. There's an explanation from Reb Chaim Brisk or something about that there are two different dinim involved over here. One is that it has to be on the eighth day, and the other is that there has to be Dam Bris. And in the case of a Bris by night, you still had Dam Bris. It just you had the there was missing a detail because it was done by night when it shouldn't have been. But nevertheless, it's still on the night going into the eighth day, and therefore it was a valid Bris and valid blood coming out, as opposed to when it was before the eighth day, then it wasn't considered a Bris at all, and therefore yeah. Okay. Anyway, so again, if the mother is not tomei later, then the bris does not have to wait for the eighth day. It can take place sooner. Shenemar, isha ki sazri of a yolda zoch of a tom of a gomer. As the pasuk says, when a woman emits seed, and meaning becomes pregnant, and she gives birth to a boy, the tom of a gomer, she becomes tomei for 7 days, and the next pasuk continues, vayemeshmini yimob saro lase, on the eighth day you do his bris mila, implying that there's a connection between those two things, the tumah for the 7 days and the bris on the eighth day. So Abaya says, what do you mean? Let's prove from the earlier generations, from Avram Avinu's times until Matan Torah, she'ein imat tmei later. There was no concept of tumas later yet, because that was introduced only after Matan Torah. And yet babies were gemalat at the eighth day. Yitzchak was circumcised on the eighth day. Yaakov, etc., all the shvatim. So we see there's no connection. So he answers him, the difference is nitna Torah v'neschad shahalacha. Once the Torah was given, then a new halacha came about. In other words, you're right. Before the Torah was given, there was no connection like that. But after the Torah was given, now that connection was created that you need the Tmeya later in order that the bris has to be on the eighth day. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? We have a brisa that says, we have a discussion of Amiroyim that says, Yotze Dofen, a baby born by C-section, umish yeshle shtei erlos, or a baby that has two erlos. Now, how does a baby have two erlos? Rashi says two possibilities. One is that there's two skins, one on top of the other. Like this, normally you have the erla is a continuation of the skin of on the aver itself. So sometimes you can have there's a double skin over there. An extra erla grows. It could happen. The Machzor Shekel talks about at some length. He discusses how you have to carefully distinguish between whether it's two orlas or whether it's just, I mean, the orla skin itself has two layers, right? You have the Mila layer and the Priya layer. So you always have two layers, but here you're talking about you have a whole nother extra layer of skin. Another possibility, Rashi says, is if the baby has two gidim, if the baby has two penises. It could happen. I mean, they actually, medically, you have sometimes Siamese twins where two babies are born joined together, and sometimes even you have your Siamese twins where one twin doesn't actually develop. Like a little bit of it develops, and then its development stops, and therefore you wind up, the baby that continues development ends up with some other body part attached to it. Yeah. Anyway, so such cases, Rav Huna v'Rav Chiya bar Rav, one says that in such cases, a C-section baby or a baby born with two erlas, you're mechal Shabbos for the bris, and the other one says you're not. The halacha, by the way, is you're not. And here's where the Alter Rebbe mentions in Shulchan Aruch that this is based on, again, we said before, erlasei vaday, doiches Shabbos, and here it's not erlasei, it's not one erla, it's two. And it's not one erla, it's two, and you're not, and you can't be sure which one is the primary erla. Which one is the primary orla, and which one is just an extra growth or something? Right. So therefore, you can't be mechal Shabbos for it. And the Gemara points out ad kan le pligi el chalul of the Shabbos. Now, on the face of it, the two Amiroyim, Rav Huna and Rav Chiya bar Rav, are only arguing about are you mechal Shabbos for such a bris, or do you push it off till after Shabbos? Ava l'shmona vade b'halinim le. Implying that other than that, you would mal him on the eighth day regardless. In other words, if he was born some other day of the week, they both agree you would do the bris milah on the eighth day. And the machloikus is only if the eighth day is Shabbos, what happens? So you see there's not now a yotze dofen, the mother is not tomei later. You have an opinion of Reb Shimon in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in Nida, that says that she is, but the halacha is not like him. The halacha is like the chachamim, that a woman who gave birth by C-section is not tomei later. We still see that. Amiroyim seem to both agree that the baby is mild on the eighth day. The only question is whether you're machal Shabbos for it. The Gemara says no. Ha b'hatalia. Actually, no. those two things are interdependent. The Amora who holds that you're Mechal Shabbos would hold that you have to Malam on the eighth day as well. The one who holds that you don't would say you don't have to Malam on the eighth day. You could do it earlier. You could do it earlier. Earlier, yeah. Or you don't necessarily. The actual halacha is a little bit of a hybrid. You do the bris on the eighth day, but you're not Mechal. You don't do it earlier than that, but you're not Mechal Shabbos for it. Okay. So the Gemara says Ketanoi. This statement of Rav Asi that we started the sugya with, that there's a connection between Tumas Leda and the Bris Milah on the eighth day, is actually a Machloikas Tanoim. So now we're going to talk about, the Pulsik tells us in Parashas Lech Lecha, when Hashem tells Avraham about the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he tells him not only your own children need a Bris Milah, but also Avodim. If you buy an Eved Knani, then you have to give him a Bris Milah as well. So we're going to talk about those dinim now. Now, you have the Pasuk mentions separately like this. You have the Pasuk mentions Yelid Bias, a baby Eved that was born in your household, and you have Miknas Kesef, one that you bought, and both of them need a Bris Milah. So on the other hand, you have a Pasuk, you have Psukim that mention over there Lochem. Yumal Lachem Kol Zarcha L'Dereseichem, Lachem implying that there's an extra degree of ownership that you have over this Eved, and only then do you do it on the eighth day. So the Braisa says, Yesh Yilid Bayis Shenimal Lechad, you can have a baby that was born in your, a baby Eved, that was Eved Knani, that was born in your household, and is mild on the first day, meaning even though he was born in your household and on the face of it he should be like any other Eved and have to wait for the eighth day. No, in this case you would do it earlier, even on the first day. The yesh yulid bias shenim l'shmona, and then you have a case of a yulid bias who's mild on the eighth day. And yesh miknas kesef shenim l'echad, yesh miknas kesef shenim l'shmona. The same thing when it comes to an Eved that you bought. You can have a certain kind that you do it on the first day and a certain kind that you do it on the eighth. So now we're going to explain what are all the four cases. Kate said, how does this work out? Lokach shifcha mu'uberes. If a person bought a shifcha who was already pregnant, v'achakach yolda, then after he bought her, she gave birth. Zehu miknas kesef anim l'shmona. There you have. In effect, he bought the baby because the baby was not conceived in his possession. The baby was conceived before he ever bought the shifcha. So the baby is considered miknas kesef, and nevertheless, the baby is mauled on the eighth day because by the time he was born, his mother already belonged to you. So he bought the shifcha while she was already pregnant. So now, when the baby is born, then you do the Bris Milah on the eighth day. So that's a case of Miknas Kesef. We said that there's Yilid Bais and there's Miknas Kesef. And you have, so we're starting from the end. We said there's a case of Miknas Kesef who's mauled on the eighth day. And that would be the case where you bought the Shifcha already pregnant. Meaning Rashi explains like this. Again, you have two psukim. You have a posik about you have a posik that mentions Yilid Bais. You have a posik that mentions Miknas Kesef, and you have like this. You have one posik that doesn't mention anything about the eighth day. You have a posik that says, Himo yimo yulid beischo miknas kasbecha. You have to make a bris milah for a baby born in your household or bought with your money. Doesn't say anything there about the eighth day, meaning that there has to be some kind of yulid bias who's mild before the eighth day and some kind of miknas kesef who's mild before the eighth day. Then you have later on a posik that says, Uven shmonas yomim yimo lachem kol zorcho l'dereseichem yulid bias miknas kesef. You have to make the bris on the eighth day for a yulid bias miknas kesef. So meaning, in other words, you have two, so one posik is implying that a yulid bias miknas kesef, you do the bris as soon as you buy them, even if it's before the eighth day. And the other one implies that you wait for the eighth day. The logic is, when do you wait for the eighth day? When the baby has a certain resemblance to a regular Jew, namely that he was born in your possession. So that's the case we're talking about over here, that you bought the shifcha when she was pregnant. The baby was born in your possession. So then we consider that's when we apply the pasuk yimol lachem, and we say that's when we apply the pasuk yimol lachem, and we say that it has to be ben shmonas yom, that you malam only on the eighth day. So that's what we're going to continue. So that's the case when you have miknas kesef and he's mal on the eighth day. On the other hand, lokach shifcha uvlada ima. But if he buys a shifcha with a baby, in other words, the baby was already born, and he buys the shifcha and the baby at the same time, zeru miknas kesef shenim l'echad. There you have a miknas kesef who's mal on the day you get him. Because there, he wasn't even born in your possession. Therefore, he's less like Lachem. And therefore, we would apply the first pasuk, Himo Yimo Yulid Beischa or Michnas Kasbecha. And there, it doesn't say the eighth day. So there, you do it on the first day, period. Then, continues the Braisa. The Yesh Yulid Bias Shanim L'Shmoina. Then you have a Yulid Bias, one who was born in your household. Shanim L'Shmoina, who was modeled on the eighth day. Ketzad. Lokach Shifcha B'nis Abra Etzloi. If a person bought a shifcha and she became pregnant while he owns her, the yolda, and later on she gives birth, so the conception and the pregnancy and the birth all took place while he owned her. Zeru yulid bayis hanim l'shmoina. That is the case of the yulid bayis who's mauled on the eighth day, because again, then he's definitely more like lachem. The whole conception and everything took place while you owned the mother and while you owned him. Therefore, it's more logical to say that the pasuk that implies that you do yulid beischa on the eighth day is talking about that case. And the braisa interjects. Rav Chama disagrees and says, Yolda v'achakach itbila. If she gave birth and then he toveled her as a shivcha knanis, because we know that in order to become a shivcha knanis, she goes through a semi-gerus process, an eved knani or shivcha knanis goes through a semi-gerus process where they get, for men they get mila, both men and women they get tevila, and they do it l'shem avdus, and they accept on them the mitzvahs that avodim are chayivin. So Rav Chama says, if she gave birth and then he toiled her, so she gave birth before the tefillah, zeru yulid bayis shenim al echad. Then Rav Chama says that would be the case of a yulid bayis who's mauled on the first day, because even though he was born in your possession, but he was only born after his mother became a shivcha knanis. Before that, she was a regular goita. So therefore, Rav Chama says that you just do it on the first day. You just do it on the day the baby is born. Only if he toiled the mother to become a shivcha knanis, and then she gave birth, zeru yulid bayis hanim l'shmoina, then that would be a yulid bayis that you mal on the eighth day. Implying, now apparently the Tanakama doesn't make that distinction, whether the toiling or the birth came first. And therefore we see, so we see that the Tanakama and Rav Chama are arguing on the same point that Rav Asi said. Is there a connection between Trumas Leda and Mila on the eighth day? Rav Asi had said there's a connection between them. Rav Chama would be saying the same thing. Therefore, he says only if the mother had toivled and become a shivcha knanis, where then the dinim of Trumas Leda applied to her just like they do to a Jewish woman, then the baby is mauled on the eighth day. Otherwise, we say that the baby is mauled only on the first day because the mother is not Tomei Leda, whereas the Tanakama disagrees with that and says it doesn't matter whether she's Tomei Leda or not. So we see that this point that Rav Asi is saying is actually the subject of a machlokas between Rav Chama and the Chachamim. Tosfos asked the question. I mean, maybe the point is that she's anyway not even considered a geodus until she toivels. So up until this point, she's a goita. So therefore, maybe it's not really a machloikus regarding that. It's just that the fact is, if she's a goita, then you can't say that the baby is considered yulid beischa at all. Okay, Tosfos leaves the question open. Anyway, So Amar Rava, Bishleim el Rav Chama. Now, according to Rav Chama, we understand we have all four cases. Mashkachas lo, you can find as follows. Yulid bayis nimel echad, yulid bayis nimel aleph, yulid bayis nimel ches, miknas kesef nimel aleph, and miknas kesef nimel ches. According to Rav Chama, you have all four cases, namely, yolda v'achakach itbila, if the mother gave birth and then you toveled her, so when she gave birth, she was still a complete goita. Then zeru yulid bayis shenim al echad. That would be the case according to Rav Chama, where you do the bris on the day the baby is born. Hitbila v'achakach yolda zeru yulid bayis shenim al ches. And if you made her tovel and then she gave birth, then you would mal the baby on the eighth day. Miknas kesef nimel l'shmona. When would you say that a baby that was bought is nimel l'shmona? Is we said when shalokach shifcha mu'beres would be the case. He bought a shifcha that was already pregnant, v'hitbila, and then he toveled her v'achakach yolda, and then she gave birth. So as we said before, the Tanakama would agree with that also, except that the Tanakama wouldn't care whether the tevila was done before or after. And miknas kesef nimol echad gugan shalokach zeh shivcha b'zeh obra. The case, when would you say? When would you say? According to Rav Chama, that when would you say a miknas kesef was mild on the day he's born? Is let's say you had two people, one bought the shivcha and one bought the unborn baby. So then you would say the unborn baby doesn't have really a direct connection with the mother, and therefore you wouldn't have to wait for the eighth day. So according to Rav Chama, we understand that. But according to the Tanakama, fine, three out of the four cases the Tanakama spelled out. He spelled out the two cases of Miknas Kesef, the first day and the eighth day. He spelled out the case of Yulid Bias for the eighth day. But what's the case? Ella Yulid Bias Nimalachad Hechim Ashkachasla. According to the Tanakama, who doesn't care whether the mother was toivled before the birth or not. So how do you have a case of Yulid Bias where the baby was born already in your possession and he's mauled on the first day? The case would be where you bought the shivcha not for her herself, but only for her ubra. In other words, you're not really buying the shivcha herself. The shivcha herself continues to belong to the guy who you bought her from or whatever. You're only buying that when the baby is born, you're going to own that baby. And like you, so to speak, like you're so to speak renting the shivcha for the duration of the pregnancy that she's going to carry the baby. So the baby, you bought him before he was born. So therefore, yeah. But nevertheless, because there's no connection, the Tanakama would agree in that case. You didn't buy the mother at all. Therefore, so the mother still belongs to the guy. Therefore, the Tanakama would agree that in that case, you do the bris on the day the baby is born. Rashi actually brings from the Shiltis, which is a sefer from Abachai Goin, one of the early Goinim, who doesn't have the girsa over here about lokach zesh shivcha b'zeh obra. And Rashi says because there's no reason to say that. We already talked about the case of lokach shivcha vlad, where you bought a shivcha and her vlad. So you could have a similar thing over here. What do you call it? Where you buy the shivcha and the vlad, and it would be considered a yulid bias, and you would still mal on the first day. Tosfos actually, Tosfos agrees with the girsa of Shiltis, but Tosfos says that actually no. If you bought them together, then you would always do the bris on the eighth day. So he disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi on the actual substantive din. Anyway. So according to the Tanakhama, you have such a case. So the problem with that is that works out according to the opinion that if you buy only the peiros of something, it's not considered that you bought the guf. Meaning you can have a similar case with a field, let's say a tree or something. You bought a field from somebody. You're not buying the actual field. You're only buying the right that when it produces peiros, that you're going to be able to take those peiros. So it's a machloikus in a number of places in Shas if that's considered kinyan aguf. Reb Nissim points out in his pirush over here, you have a machloikus, Reb Yochanan and Rish Lakish on that in several places in Shas. It's one of the rare cases where the halacha is like Rish Lakish against Reb Yochanan. Anyway, so if you say kinyan peiros is lav kinyan aguf, then okay, you say even though you own the peiros of the shivcha, namely the baby, you don't own the shivcha herself. Therefore, indeed, the baby would be mild on the first day, on the day it was born, because you don't own the mother at all. But if you say that owning the peiros amounts to owning the guf, then what are you going to say? Lachora, then you own the mother herself. So in a certain sense, you own the mother herself, and therefore the baby should be mild on the eighth day. The answer is b'lekech shivcha manas shaloi lat bila. The case is that you bought the shivcha on condition that you're not going to toivel her, meaning she won't become a shivcha knanis. Now, in general, now the usual rule is the Gemara tells us in Yevamos when you buy an eved knani, when you buy an eved or a shivcha, you have a maximum of 12 months to leave them unmade into an eved ivri or into an eved knani. Otherwise, you have to resell them to the goyim. But the Gemara mentions over there you're able to buy them to begin with al tanai that you're not going to make them into an eved knani or shivcha knanis, and then you're allowed to keep them like that indefinitely. Now, on the other hand, you lose out from that in that you, then it's not considered that you own the guf of the person. Then it's considered you only own their work. If you, if they become an Eved Knani or Shifcha Knanis, you actually own them themselves. Otherwise, you only own their work, la'alocha. But nevertheless, you're allowed to do that. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions that in their times, the local governments didn't allow them to make the avodim. They allowed Jews to own slaves in various times, but they didn't allow them to make them into semi-Jews like that through this process of milah and tefillah. And therefore, it was considered when you bought an Eved or a Shifcha, then it was considered automatically there's this tnai that you're not going to make them into an Eved Knani or Shifcha Knanis. They're going to remain a goy, and therefore that would be the case over here. You bought the rights to the Vlad, but you also you had this tnai that you're not going to tovel the mother. Therefore, the mother is still considered a complete goita, and therefore the baby, even though he's yalid bias, he's born in your household. Nevertheless, you mal him on the first day, and you don't wait for the eighth day. So and that would be according to the Tanakhama as well. So again, according to the Bchama, there is the distinction whether the baby was born before or after you tovel her. In other words, eventually you do tovel her. The question is just when. The Tanakhama would agree that if you never tovel her, then the baby is considered that you mal him on the first day regardless. And the Tanakhama would just say, if you tovel her, then it doesn't matter whether it was done before or after the baby was born. Okay.